Hey guys, welcome to the show. 888-659-3727. Decided not to try to even attempt to play the opening tonight. Been having some technical issues. So I figured we'd just start. I have live with me, live in our studios in Vancouver, British Columbia, Joe Tillman, the original hair transplant. I can't speak. Hair transplant mentor is here. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you.
Not bad. For those of you who don't know who we are, why we are here, well, first of all, I'm a consumer advocate for men and women dealing with hair loss. I'm the author of The Ball of Truth and The Truth About Women's Hair Loss. I'm also happen to be the founder of the American Hair Loss Association and the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons. Joe Tillman is the original hair transplant mentor, meaning he's actually the first guy who ever documented his entire hair transplant repair journey on the internet. He's also an insider in the industry, guy who's been working in the trenches for more than 11 or 12 years, something like that. Worked for some of the greatest clinics in the field, Hassan Wong being one of them. And he's a guy who has been providing his advice to hair loss sufferers for many, many years. Known originally as Joe Tronic in the online world, and basically all around good guy.
Should lead it in with that.
Yeah.
The all around good guy, Joe Tillman.
Yeah. You know, I have a, and I hate to talk about the technical stuff, but you know, I mean, we got to be completely as transparent about this operation as possible. And, you know, Andrew built a new computer for me. Mm-hmm. Got me all the components, you put it together, yada, yada. The one thing that it cannot do, if it shuts down, it cannot be restarted because the case that he told me to order was defective.
Ooh.
So the start button, very simple thing, you know, on and off.
Yep.
Doesn't connect.
Nope. So how do you turn it on?
I have to put a pen in there.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, you got to pull out the. Do you do it on the button itself, or do you go onto the motherboard?
No, I go inside the. I open up the side panel. I make contact.
Look at you, yeah.
And that's how I have to start
the bridge the pins.
That's how I have to start the goddamn thing.
I just did that 2 days ago with my wife's old computer. I was saving some of her data.
Same thing. Total panic trying to get on the air live tonight.
Trying not to go too far with the pin, trying not to break any.
Well,
pins.
The thing is, you can't unplug it because you don't know if it's going to go on or off. So you don't know if you could electrocute yourself. Also, you could shock yourself.
Yeah, you could get a little zap.
Yeah,
it'd be hard to really do any damage because all the capacitors and
right.
But still,
it still scared me.
It's scary. That's what matters.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, the phone number is 888-659-3727. We are live from Los Angeles. We're basically the hair loss guys, unfortunately. I've been a guy who's been dealing with hair loss for more than three decades. And I actually probably – I was looking today. I probably need to paint the hairline a little bit more, especially with this light. It's starting to become a little bit more see-through than I would like. Maybe I just need a haircut. Don't want to talk about it. I'm just totally bugged today about everything.
I got a – if you look over here, wait a minute, right there – I'm actually getting a gray spot. And when I say a spot, I mean it's actually a fucking circle.
a round circle.
Yeah, like right here. You can see it. See?
It
only shows up. And so
it's fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
It's scary at the same time.
It probably has something to do. Okay, so here's why I think it's a spot. I've had so much skin taken out that it's the top and bottom of an overall area that would have been
graying.
Going a bit gray, but yeah. Because like 3 inches of the middle section were taken out and then pulled together.
Yeah, I mean, the integrity of your scalp was completely rearranged in a sense. Luckily in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way, of course. But it's just one of those things where, you know, I'm 47 this year, and so I look at it and it's like, God, it's creeping up on me, man.
Dude, I'm entirely gray. You can't, in these lights, you can't see it.
It's doing so in a strange way, though.
But the great thing is it'll
you know, maybe cause attention to be brought to my hair by people saying, hey, what's up with that? You know, then I got a new issue to worry about.
Yeah. a brand new one.
We all need one. Yeah.
Well, anyway, listen, guys. If you're new to the broadcast, we're here to guide you in the safest possible direction when it comes to anything and everything hair loss. This is a incredibly treacherous industry. This is one of the dirtiest places you could ever effing imagine. But as bad as it is, I have to say, you know, whether it's the weight loss industry, whether it's the mainstream cosmetic surgery industry, they're all fucked up, in my view. Just my opinion. But this industry is getting worse and worse. And I'm not just talking about, you know, obviously there's a virtual cornucopia of products and services and bullshit that's being sold out there that claims to stop, prevent, and treat your hair loss. We all know that in this $3.5 billion a year industry, 99% of those products just don't work, which is insane in itself.
Now, when you say $3.5 billion, is that products or is that including hair restoration?
That includes hair transplantation, prosthetics, which are hair pieces, wigs, everything. Hair extensions, things that, you know, cover hair loss.
Yeah.
And also lotions, potions, and prescription medications. It actually is a little – it's probably a little higher now. That number was it's almost 10 years old. But the industry is growing.
Well, you know what? See, that's something that actually kind of reflects or bounces off something that's been on my mind is because of Turkey – and the madness that's going on over there.
Yeah.
Just was it end of last year? No, I think maybe around January, I read a stat that was saying that Turkey now accounts for $1 billion U.S. spent on hair transplant
surgery. Yeah, it's very possible that we are now at about a $4 billion to $4.5 billion industry.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You know, I'm just so used to saying $3.5 billion for my entire career that maybe I have to check that.
It makes sense, but yeah. it just made me think about that because, you know, I've been thinking about the Turkish market for a while now, and it's been coming up more. Some more people have been asking me about it and asking me about my videos, my trips over there, and you know, it's been almost a year since I first went to Turkey for my first visit with Dr. Kara Deniz, and it's still blowing me away, just shocking me when I see some of the stories of people going there and you know, people asking me questions that you wouldn't get anywhere else.
Well, also their lives are being destroyed. I can show you two applications that we got today on a Tuesday. And that doesn't include yesterday. I don't even know if we got anything from Turkey yesterday, but we probably did. But today, we got two applications. And all of these guys in Turkey have checks in hand. They are willing to pay full fare for the ride. Yeah. No problem. It's like, and there's a part of me that just wants to open up a Turkish site. You know, and just like anyone who has a hair transplant, you know, firm in Turkey, come on board. You want to pay your $2,000 a month? You're on. Bingo.
You know what the difference should be? It's like, you know, IAHRS is, you know, members that have been vetted and, you know, they have a certain quality. I think that the separate Turkish market should only be for quality of marketing.
Right. Right. Or you know, we could adopt a two-tier system. Let's not go there.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean it's overwhelming. India doesn't seem to be growing as quickly. You know, for a while I thought that it was, but it definitely isn't. But the Turkish market is growing. I mean, overnight on a monthly basis, it's exponential. Yeah. And you know, I've come to terms with I've accepted the fact that I can't take these guys on. We brought on four guys over the last 3 years or 2 years or whatever it is, and I'm at the point where enough is enough. So far, thank God, you know, the work of these doctors and their clinics have been very consistent, but it is so difficult to vet now that there's just so many different guys out there. And now that all the clinics are virtually technician-driven clinics, and it's not just Turkey. What's even bothering me more is what's happening here. I shouldn't say more, but what's even more surprising to me is that it is now happening here in the U.S. All of the new clinics that are popping up are starting to do this Turkish model, all technician-driven FUE. And even the guys who have been around for a while, who have built great reputations, are now converting their practices to FUE technician-run clinics. And I read the forms on Tuesdays. You know that I do. Mm-hmm. And I was actually sent a link to another forum that I am not going to mention that was discussing this very thing. And it's amazing to me that people fucking believe the shit that they read online. It's amazing that they believe, like, okay, don't have a procedure done by a certain device. It has to be done either handheld or by, you know, motorized devices from these particular clinics. Because these guys are tried and true. What these poor souls don't have, and they have no clue that these guys who were once tried and true are now hiring girls for $15 an hour to do all the work.
Yeah. And the name of the clinic is still being applied to the work, for better or for worse. But, you know, when you have a clinic that has an established name and people are signing up for surgery, there's a certain record of performance that's expected to carry through into you know, say me. So I find a clinic and, wow, they got this great reputation. Oh, wow, they offer FUE now. Okay, well, I'm going to this clinic. I'll expect that consistency to translate over into the procedure I'm going to have. However, what you're not being told is that 30% of the procedure is being done by the doctor, but 75% or 70% or, you know, whatever the difference is being done by technicians only. Therefore, the bulk of the lifting is being done by technicians making $15-$20 an hour.
I honestly believe you're being generous when you say 30% of the procedure.
I
can tell you this. There are two clinics who shall remain nameless that have converted into this model. And one clinic in particular that I am now starting to get complaints about. And this is a clinic that had a absolutely stellar, stellar reputation. As one of the best clinics in the world. And so what am I supposed to do? The only thing I can do is tell the truth and let people know that, you know, they were doing – and, you know, this particular clinic was doing great strip. Initially, they were doing good FUE when they started to kind of cross over into this – fully tech-driven machine of a clinic, quality's changed. Yeah. I can see people coming back with depleted donors, people coming back with really they're just unhappy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm – my mind, and I think the industry, it's turning a corner. And at a certain time, I've told you this, I'm going to have to make some declarative statements. I'm going to have to go out there and just say, listen, forget about what you fucking think. Forget about everything that you heard. Everybody who's on your short list. The short list is changing.
Absolutely it is.
And I hate to be the one to say this because I make money from the short list. You know?
That's your bread and butter, man.
You know? Yeah. But this is what I do. So if I have to take a hit, I'm going to take a hit. And there are doctors out there who are listening to the broadcast right now, and they know who they are. So I'm not trying – I guess maybe I am. Taking a shot or making a shot. What is it? Shot over the bow?
Yeah.
You got to, you know, shape up or ship out. That's the way that it is. I'm not going to make it public that, you know, this guy's going to be removed or this guy's going to be removed. That's not the way that I operate. I'm not here to run an extortion ring. I'm not here to harm your practice.
No need for that.
But you just won't be able to be involved. That's it. You got to take care of your patients. Your strongest ROI, return on investment, which all you guys are so consumed over and consumed about, are happy patients. You can make your patients happy. You know, you don't have to worry about how much you're spending on this advertising resource or how much you're spending on that one, because your patients will sing your praises.
And it's not difficult either. It's like if you already have the reputation, all it takes is just investing, you know, going back to basics and investing your, you know, some time with the patient just like you do or have in the past. And that little difference, if it means that you got happy patients talking about it online or sharing with other patients, you win. You're done. Dude, I read
some shit on this other forum it was sent to me last night. I'm just like, oh, my God. You know, these poor souls parrot what they believe it to be true.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that they're putting people in harm's way. You know, and it's happening. You coined the phrase, dude, the dumbing down of the internet. It is getting worse and worse and worse. We were doing our best to control that shit on Bald Truth Talk, but it's getting hard. It's getting even more difficult.
It is. It is. And, you know, one thing I'm working on, I'm actually kind of revamping a few things about hair transplant.
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off, guys. I'll take your calls in a second, so hold on. It's 888-659-3727. I'm hoping all the lines are working. Again, more technical issues. I know we have at least 4 lines working tonight, so if you can't get there, get a busy signal, just call back.
Let's try again.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say the hair transplant mentor doctor interview form is actually being completely revamped because I'm adapting it to be more for allow the patient to be more cognizant of doctor participation.
Yeah. And one question should be if your doctor says they've been researching FUE for 20 years, see if they could produce that research. That's a good question.
That is a good question. It could be 20 years. It could be, you know, 5 years.
4 years.
4 years. Let's see the data.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm actually breaking it down to where it was, you know, the original interview form was more focused on the clinic itself in general. You know, how, like, say, clean room protocols, things like that, making sure that infection control is top notch. I've pared that down to some core questions, but I've also added a bunch of questions about doctor involvement, technician involvement, what percentage of involvement does a doctor have, technician have, so on and so forth, not to mention the qualifications of technicians if they are going to be working on the patient directly as far as extractions and scoring. So hopefully more people will download it and they can use it to at least in their own consultations, be more aware of what's going to happen for their surgery.
It's vital. You know, I saw a thread, and guys, I'm going to take your call in a second. I saw a thread on Bald Truth Talk today about this woman who went with her fiance to have his second or third hair transplant at Bosley. Now she's very concerned about what's happening. She thinks she may have been misled. She's concerned that, you know, the wedding is in like, 2 weeks and what this poor guy's going to look like. And obviously she's pretty anxious. You know, I really think if they had the information that you provide on your website before even considering – forget about who they went to. You know, they would have realized, you know what, 2 weeks probably isn't enough time for me to look great in my pictures.
Yeah.
You know?
At least they would have learned that. I mean, at this point, the clinic is irrelevant. It could have been the best clinic in the world, could have been the worst. At 2 weeks, it's, you know, they all pretty much look the same. Everything's falling out. And
it's – you're usually a mess in 2 weeks. Guys, I also want to welcome a new online resource that is a part of our syndication deal with GFQ. It is called Blab. I think it's Blab, BLAB.IM, if I am correct. So we are streaming live on Blab as well. I want to thank GFQ for getting the show out to hundreds of thousands of people every week. It's unbelievable. I think last week or the last time we were live, we reached close to 110,000 live viewers, which is insane. You're talking about, you know, 2 Yankee stadiums, basically.
That's impressive.
I mean, we are filling virtual stadiums with this little hair loss show.
That's the kind of – I just thought of where I grew up in Tennessee, the area. It's got about 120,000 people combined in just a couple of small towns. And I just thought any radio station in that area would kill to have complete saturation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
With that number. That's great.
Well, and with that said, I am considering starting to sell airtime, by the way. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. I don't need to do that. I won't do that. I don't want to saturate this this show with ads. I know a couple of guys who do online broadcasts, and they run them like radio shows. And I get it. It's an old school model that, you know, these particular guys, that's what they grew up with. That's how they made their living, because they're, you know, their living is to sell advertising. We're not in a position where we need to do that.
Right.
So, which I feel very fortunate about. We make
more time with us.
Absolutely. And I hate reading spots and doing – I'll do it once – like if Andrew wants me to read like a Netflix – like once a year we'll do like Netflix or something, I'll read the spot. That's fine.
Yeah. That'd be a good sponsor too.
Yeah. All right, let's see who's on the air or who's on the line. Who's this? Hey, man, you're on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hey, how are you? This is Mike calling from New York.
Mike from New York. What's going on?
Not too much. I've been listening to you for so many years. It's my first time. I just want to say I love what you guys do on here.
Oh, man, listen, that means a lot to me. Thanks a lot. We're in New York. Whereabouts in New York?
I am actually in a suburb. I'm in Long Island, New York, so it's about a half hour outside of Manhattan.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to talk to you guys about a specific a product, if you had a few minutes.
Yeah, that's why I took your call, man.
Cool, man. I basically started thinning close to about 9 years ago. Never went on any of the big three or any of the main medications. Just had fear of side effects, and it was never really that terrible.
Did you tell me how old you were?
31.
31. Okay, so you're young.
Yeah. I can go on forever about the whole experience, but I just wanted to get to this one part. I finally decided to grab something which I saw had all sorts of amazing reviews online, and I'm sure you've heard of it. It's called the Topic Spray. All right.
Sure.
Now the first thing I just want to get to real quick.
There's a couple of there's Topic, which are the keratin fibers, and there's a Topic that you could buy the applicator that actually is like a pump that kind of sprays. It's kind of like a reverse air type of thing. Go ahead.
So, they have all that stuff. I watched videos for months before I bought it. I read up on it, because I'm very careful about all this kind of stuff. It just seems amazing. It looks great. And, mm-hmm. It's just funny to me. And tell me if you agree before I get to my one other thing I wanted to bring up, that these videos make it sound like how millions of people use it. It's so successful, yet I've never, ever seen it in a store. I've never seen an ad on the television here. And do you find that odd at all, or is it just all about the internet purchasing today?
Well, no. That's actually a very good question. But the truth is they have been on television, and they actually are in beauty supply houses. And Topic – or Spencer Forrest Inc. It's not my company. Kind of wish it was, but they've been around for a long time, selling products like Topic, Cuvray, Fulmore, and other hair building and camouflaging type products. It's a legit company, and they have absolutely sold their product to millions of people. I actually, in the second edition of The Bald Truth, I dedicated an entire section to cosmetic concealers. And I talked about their products mostly because they were, especially at the time, the most used products. So, they absolutely, if you are the right candidate for a concealer, and I use something called Dermatch, they can work wonders. But if you don't have enough hair, you end up looking like a freak.
Right. Well, what happened was I finally got my hands on some of it. I ordered through online, got the spray applicator that you mentioned.
Right.
So I finally played around with it for a good 20 minutes last night, and you got to work with it a little while. You got to practice.
But you have to learn how to. Once you learn how to finesse it, if you have enough hair, it could look really good.
Yeah, and it's sad at the same time because you look at yourself and that you're spraying fake hair on you, but at the same time, it really is a great product. But the thing is,
it's funny that you say that.
You know, I look in, and I look in the mirror, and I just, it's unbelievable the feeling when you see it, how much better looking a person really could be when the face is framed like that with the hair. And I haven't seen a hairline since I was basically, been over 5 years since I saw a straight hairline.
Well, I want to ask you this question. You know, you said something that it was sad, and I understand that because when I first started to wear scalp makeup, I call it scalp paint, it made me a little sad. You know, it got me a little – it made me – I was like, wait a second. Okay, I look good. I feel comfortable, but this really isn't me. But then if you really think about the reality of the person you may be dating or your wife or any woman that leaves the house, they're wearing a complete disguise. They're wearing a mask of makeup. They, at the very least, they are enhancing their eyelashes and their eyebrows. That, and that's minimum. Most of them are dyeing their hair. And the vast majority of girls, unfortunately, I'm a lucky guy because my girl doesn't wear any, like a stitch of makeup on her skin. She wears it around her eyes and stuff. But they're plastering their entire face with like spackle just to leave the house.
Sure.
So think about that. Think about how depressed they must be when they take off that makeup at night. You know?
It's an interesting point. Interesting point. Yeah. Yeah, I know. But so, you know, moving on. So, you know, I tried it out. But the real point I wanted to make and ask you, and if you've heard anything about it, because I don't know how much you've spoken about the product, but, you know, I'm in my bathroom using it. And shortly after, I just noticed while I went back to the couch watching TV and I went to bed that, you know, I had this little bit of a burning sensation in my chest, and it lasted throughout today. This was last night. And it turns out that clearly I was inhaling some of this stuff as it was coming off and I was using it. And it was just, it was affecting me. I was at work today and it was bothering me, and it's obvious that that happened. So my question is, and then, you know, I'll listen to what you got to say, is, have you heard about this? Is this truly a safe product? I mean, what can you tell me that you know about this?
Well,
Is Dermatch perhaps is safer and better in that way?
Well, here's the thing. You know, this particular product is made from sheep shearings. Basically, it's wool, and there are different agents in it to keep it from caking, like silica. For some people, they can have allergic reactions, respiratory issues when they breathe this stuff in. You are absolutely breathing it in every time you use it, just like I am breathing in the half a can of hairspray that I use every day just to leave the fucking house. It's just, you know, for me, you know, I'm lucky it hasn't affected my lungs at this point. I do try to cover my face when I spray my hair. But since you're wearing this stuff in your scalp all the time, throughout the day, some of it will be inhaled. Now, is it dangerous for you in the long run? There's obviously been no clinical studies. I've never heard anyone who's had any real significant issues from them except for some allergic issues. So my suggestion is this. There are other products on the market that are made of a special kind of cotton. One product is called Kabuki or Kaboki. I'm not sure.
Kaboki.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Try to see how you do with the cotton fibers as opposed to the sheep or the wool fibers. A lot of people seem to do better with those who have sensitivity from the sheep keratin fibers. It's just as good. And some people actually think the product is better than Topic. I think it really just depends. But I have heard it is not while it is not very typical, it's not completely atypical. I have heard of exactly what you're talking about.
Okay.
So I don't think I don't think you've done any permanent damage, so I wouldn't worry about that.
Right. You know? Well, starting to feel a little better now, so I'm happy. But
standard warnings of anyone that has a sensitivity to wool in general would apply to this.
Absolutely.
And you know, one thing you can do, I don't know about Spencer, but like when I, you know, zap my hair with hairspray, I usually have the overhead fan on to prevent it from you know, being inhaled too much. I'd say that's a hell of a lot more dangerous than the Topic spray.
I must have inhaled so much hair. I think about it. I mean, I'm like, when I see these like mesothelioma commercials, yeah. I'm like, oh shit.
Started thinking about the hairspray.
Is that going to be me? Like, I didn't work at the shipyards, but I've been spraying my hair for 40 years.
Yeah. I wasn't in the coal mines with black lung, but it might be worse. But no, it's yeah, like I said, try the Kabuki, the cotton base. It might be better. I don't use anything like that. I have in the past. I personally love Topic. Yeah. I've never tried Kabuki, or I've not even tried Duramatch, but I've got like the perfect head for this. I got,
you do,
you know, thin crown.
Yeah.
You know, I could always use more density on top, and it's just the times I do use it, it's scary how good it looks. And that's exactly why I don't use it.
Now, as far as Duramatch is concerned, I use Duramatch because of the type of crown loss that I have. It's kind of like almost like a compact makeup.
Yeah.
And I don't put it on wet a lot. You're supposed to put it on wet. I put it on dry and just put a little hairspray on. It works for me, and it doesn't come off in my clothes. There's no mess on the counter. So for me, it's a better product. And also, like, I swim a lot. And if I go to, you know, someone else's pool, I have yet – and I always joke about, you know, if you see an oil slick in the pool, you know, Spence jumped in. I've never had a problem. It's never, like, run down my back or anything.
Yeah.
Where Topic does have a tendency of getting into your collar – you'll notice it if you wear it on a regular basis. You'll notice it in the collars, especially on white shirts. It comes out. It doesn't stain permanently, but it's there. And you start to notice you have to clean up your bathroom a little bit more. Dude, baldness sucks, man. Hair loss sucks. It's a pain in the ass. This is what we deal with. But the truth is, they're all really great cosmetics. And if you could look at yourself in the mirror just by using a little bit of cosmetic and feel more comfortable in your own skin, and I say more power to you.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Appreciate it, man.
I mean, I hope that helped.
Just the conversation helps, man. It really does. I mean that.
I get it.
Well, I'm glad. Did you have anything else you wanted to ask before I take another call?
That's basically it. Thanks again, guys. I'm sure I'll try the Dirt Match out as well eventually, see which one works better for me, and the Kabuki. I'm going to check that out as well.
Call back. Let us know.
Yeah. And also, I mean,
definitely.
You know, remember, hair loss is progressive. I hope that you are at a point where it's not progressing. You know, some people will kind of stay stagnant. Their hair loss will be stagnant for, you know, long periods of time. But eventually, the makeup will no longer work. So you have to, you either have to treat your hair loss medically, or you have to come to terms with the concept of this being kind of like a temporary fix.
Right.
All right, man. Listen, I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, guys. Right. Have a great night, man.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
888-659-3727 is the toll-free number. Yeah, I've heard of that. You know, people are just allergic to wool, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, you can see the warnings. If you have a sensitivity to wool, don't wear the suit or
– Right.
Yeah. Labels on clothing?
Yeah. You know, and I think about it all the time. I really do. I used to smoke cigarettes on a regular basis. Every once in a while, if I'm drinking too much, I will go down to the guard gate or bum a cigarette from a bartender, like I was on the phone with you a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been breathing in hairspray basically since I was – when did I start losing my hair? 21, 22. That's when I started to wear it. So I've been breathing this shit in. And I try not to now as an adult.
Yeah, because you know better. But
yeah, but still. I mean, who knows? Who the hell knows what's going to happen to me? You know?
Us, because I've been doing the same thing.
In a couple of years, it could be like, you know, Joe Tillman's the bald truth.
with the live feed switching to Mount Sinai Hospital.
God forbid.
With a fucking ventilator.
Right,
no, it won't happen.
Let's take another call. Let's see who this is. Hey, you are on the air. Who's this and where are you calling from? Hello?
This is Joanne.
Hello?
Hey, Joanne.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm the one whose fiance just had his hair done again.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Hey, welcome.
And it's actually 2 months to the wedding, so a little bit better than 2 weeks. But,
that's a lot better than 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, we had, when he was 22 and 24, he had a procedure done by Bosley. And,
oh, boy. Yeah.
Yep. You know, truthfully, it was more, he has a naturally high forehead, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you saw the pictures on the
Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of time to spend on the forums. I usually try to kind of go through it on Tuesday before the program real fast. And I happened to see your post and I was like, wow, this is something that we should talk about.
Yeah, it was, you know, pretty disheartening in that. I mean, I think, you know, he just was, you know, somebody that was young and insecure about it and kind of got talked into it. You know, he was in California right out of college by himself and sort of, you know, A plus B equals C.
Right.
And then, you know, now he's 34 and, you know, he is obviously having some now noticeable hair loss. He's actually, you know, not even certain that what they did before helped at all. He'd had two separate procedures, one 1300 grafts and one 1200 grafts.
Right.
And so he said, well, you know, I'm really uncomfortable with the crown of my head. Let's look at going after our honeymoon. And so we had called Bosley in Seattle and said, you know, we're kind of interested in doing this. And they said, well, why wait until August? Do it now. And we said, well, we're getting married in May.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just don't feel comfortable doing it right. Then they said, oh, it'll be absolutely fine. No problem. There's no reason not to just do it now. And I said, so it won't affect his hair. It won't do anything. And they said, nope. Just do it now and prepay. So we did. We prepaid.
Jesus
we
Christ.
Booked it and we flew out to Seattle. We're from Montana. There's no Bosley or hair restoration that I know of in Montana. And, of course, the only name we'd ever heard of until I started researching it after the fact was Bosley.
Yeah.
And when we, so, you know, we prepaid. I mean, I've never had a cosmetic procedure done, so we assumed, you know, that was pretty standard.
Well, what's standard is a deposit. That's standard.
Okay.
There are some clinics that would ask for 50% down after you reach a certain point, you know, closer when you get closer to the procedure. But normally, and Joe, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I would say the vast majority of the procedures are paid for. The final payment is done on the day of the procedure.
Usually, yeah. I mean, there are some clinics that will ask for full payment up front. Even 2 weeks before, and then they have their own, you know, deposit or return policy.
Right.
If for whatever reason it's canceled, but the majority of the clinics out there or the more recognized clinics will have, like I said, a deposit policy of, you know, 50%, even 75%, a couple weeks before surgery with a balance due on the day of the surgery. Once the final graft count has been reached, so it's pretty logical. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's the more common model.
Okay, so and that's what we did. We prepaid for 2,400 grafts. Mm-hmm. Well, because they'd asked us to send photos, and so I sent photos, and they said, well, the doctor feels that, you know, to cover this area and this, it would be 2,400 grafts. And
Now, let me ask you this: Did you have no in person consultation whatsoever? This was all done online.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and it was all done with a consultant, not a physician.
He said he conferred with the physician.
Okay. Joe, you worked in clinic yourself.
Yes.
You happened to work in a clinic where you had to confer with a physician, but in many cases, we know that that's not the point. That's not the way that it works.
That wasn't the norm. No.
That's very abnormal.
Yes.
And especially a chain clinic, the chances are that the physician had never seen your fiance's pictures.
Well, it's okay. Like this. The way that a lot of these clinics work, and I'm not going to name names specifically in this case, but some of these chain clinics, it is literally the salesperson or the consultant that sets the requirement for the number of grafts that need to be done that day, because these companies have sales quotas, they have goals, and they have to keep the doctors busy, but the doctor doesn't run the practice.
Right.
The salesman, the consultant runs the practice.
The doctor basically is either
hired gun.
Yeah, basically either an employee or a independent contractor of the company.
Yeah.
So they're just hoping to get as many surgeries as possible. And if they don't, if this particular salesperson doesn't, he is out. That's just the way that it works. And graft count is based on, they're going to ask you a number of different questions on, you know, they'll give you a number of what they charge per graft. They'll kind of get an idea of how much you could afford if you need financing and all that factors into the graft count, unfortunately. So did they ask you questions about your finances before they gave you a number?
Well, you know, they asked what we did for a living, and he's an attorney, and I'm a statistician. So, I mean, we do well, you know. I mean, yeah. It's not like we're rolling, but, I mean, it's not like we're, you know.
You should have told me you were a ticket taker at a theater or something.
It's called a waitress.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, and this is, you know, I wish I would have had red flags. I wish I would have researched this. You know, when we got there, it was, I felt it was very, because I had asked, and, you know, and I understand, you know, Joe, that you do work in, you know, facilities, and often people are not allowed to be in there observing and watching. And I had asked, and they said, oh, that's not going to be a problem. I watched my dad's brain surgery. I actually have a biology degree. I was pre-med. That stuff doesn't bother me. And I was, you know.
I don't know of a single doctor that I mean, they may not want you out there throughout the entire procedure, but they will give you a mask and they will give you, you know, a gown, and you can walk in if you're willing to stay there.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what she was saying.
They're going to
yeah,
get you. They'll give you.
He would not.
An ethical place will give you a seat, and you can sit there and watch what's going on.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even let me see him for 12 hours.
I'm so sorry.
Talked to him, and he passed out from blood loss. And they didn't even tell me. Apologize.
No, don't apologize, please. Please, I'm really sorry that you guys have been through this.
He was terrified. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not a sissy boy. I mean, he plays hockey but you know, he was so afraid because, you know, he'd passed out. They wouldn't let me. I asked, you know, I'm not queasy. Can I please, you know, and I asked, they'd given him a local anesthetic, and I said, well, what is that? And they'd also put something under his tongue, and I said, what is that? You know, they wouldn't tell me. I mean, it was just like, I felt like I was, you know, being shuffled out, and it made me nervous to leave him there at that point. And, you know, there's a waiting room. They said, you know, go sit there for 12 hours. I mean, he was there for 12 hours. And I kept asking, you know, what's going on? You know, when they brought him lunch, nobody told me, oh, we're bringing him lunch. You can talk to him then. Even the three times he went out to go to the bathroom, they didn't even, you know, bring him by to see me.
Now, how do you know he was passed? He passed out because of the blood loss, and it wasn't from the anesthetic or from the.
This was toward the end of the, or towards like after, shortly after they did. They told him he passed out from blood loss.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, they said, well, I think, because he bled a ton. They changed his gown four times, and they changed the padding that they had on the back of the chair three times.
All right, listen, I'm going to let Joe take over right now, because Joe has been in the OR many more times than I have, because he worked for one clinic for 10 years. And Joe, I know that in my experience, the only time I've ever heard of this, well, I heard of it twice, and both guys unfortunately passed away. And another guy ended up getting really severe necrosis.
Yeah.
Because of the blood loss and also the pressure of his head on the bolster. So it's, first of all, it could have been a lot worse. I just want to put it out there. But
yeah.
Joe, I want you to kind of chime in.
Well, I'm just standing. I'm just kind of. It's Joanne or Joe. What's your name?
Joanne.
Okay, Joanne. First, thank you for you know, coming on air and telling us about this experience. And I have to say, listening to you talk about this, it actually brought back a lot of memories about my first experiences with hair restoration and the fear that I experienced when, you know, something was happening I didn't understand. Now, it was nothing like this. I want to clarify. But what you need to do is you need to start asking questions outside of the clinic. And what I mean is I think that you need to get a copy of the medical record, the file that they have on you. It is your right to ask for this, and they do have to provide it, I believe. And I think that you should contact Washington State Medical Licensing Office and talk to them about what went down. Just start asking questions. Because this kind of treatment that you received is unacceptable. Much less what he received. Having so much blood loss and not letting anyone know that he's passed out, and not letting you come in to be with him, not just for your sake but for his sake, because he was obviously upset and scared as well. That's just wrong. I can't give you any advice above and beyond that specifically for what happened. But what I can tell you is that from here on out, all you can do is wait. Mm-hmm. Because the work that's been done, no matter how traumatizing this may have been, the work still may turn out to have a positive aesthetic improvement.
Well, here's the thing, and I agree with that. One thing I think Joanne needs to know, and anyone who's listening needs to know, that there is a very specific fiduciary responsibility. And I think, since your fiancé is an attorney, he probably realizes this as well. There's an ethical and a fiduciary responsibility of the clinic to keep the patient informed, and also the you're not a legal guardian, but you're his fiancé, informed of what's happening during the procedure. You're also there is a responsibility as far as being told exactly what's being given to the patient. Now, I'm not necessarily sure how the law works in the state of Washington, but in certain states, physicians or technicians can't actually give too much medical information to the person in the waiting room. However, they do have to provide those medical records, like Joe said. And if that medication is not in the medical records, and if you happen to have been allergic to any of that medication and you weren't informed of that ahead of time, I mean, there's definitely some issues there. And I would absolutely say that from what you're telling me, it sounds really alarming. There would be cause for some investigation if that's a route that you want to pursue.
But I think so, and not to mention the fact that because you were there, while you may not be his legal guardian per se, you are the implied contact in case there's issue.
Right.
And there was an issue. So they should have actually sat you down and just said, hey, you need to know this. This is what's going on. They could have done that and still said, we're taking care of it. He's fine. But then they also should have offered to let you come in to see him.
100%.
Right. And that's, what he really wanted. I mean, because after when that happened, he still had, out several hours left. And he faced that alone, and I was unawares. I mean, they got him, juice to stabilize, right. And things like that. I mean, it's not that they didn't take care of him, but when he woke up, it was the technician in there, and then, kind of standing over him.
Now, where was the physician at the time?
He was not in the room at that moment, from what I was told. Obviously I wasn't in the room.
Right.
And I asked, I said, did the physician know that you passed out? And he said, I don't know. I didn't tell him. He said, I assume that the technician or somebody else did.
Yeah.
But, we don't know. And, I wasn't trying to be a pest, but I did ask, can I please see him? Can I please just...
No, you can't worry about being trying to be a pest. It is your right. Yeah,
it's your right.
You have to be an advocate for your fiancé, and you did the right thing.
Absolutely.
And it was just frustrating, and they kept saying, Dr. Bosley's rule that nobody's allowed, and I said, well, when Brian had this done in...
Really? Dr. Bosley is walking around with a walker somewhere in Beverly Hills. Dr. Bosley was not there.
Right,
yeah.
Well, and I said, when he had this done 10 years ago, or, to his first one 12 years ago, his mother was allowed, and that was, here in Seattle, and then when he had a second one done in San Jose, his mother was allowed, and I said, I know this is a different doctor. She said, well, it's doctor's preference, and I said, could I just see him when he eats lunch or see him for a second. And, you know, at this point, and then at the end of the day, I still didn't know that this happened.
Wait a second. You couldn't even have – wait, you're telling me you couldn't have lunch with the guy?
No, I didn't see him for 12 hours. 12 hours. I mean, they would not let me talk to him.
No, that is an unbelievable story. I have never heard anything like this.
Neither have I. Yeah, this is the first.
I mean, and this is why we're so petrified. I mean, I've never seen – I mean, like I said, Brian is not somebody who worries and stresses out. But, you know, this whole experience. And then at the end, I started to get, you know, pace, basically. I'm like, well, how much – you know, because it's 6 o'clock now. He started this at 7 a.m. And I'm saying, well, how much longer, you know, what's happening? And I overheard two technicians arguing that he had 200 grafts yet left, and neither of them wanted to do it. They were, you know, they were tired, they were done, and they basically agreed, well, I'll do 100. And, you know, of course, that makes my heart sink, because I'm like, oh, my God, they don't even want to do this. And this guy is sitting in there. I can't even say, hey, are you okay? And, you know, he told me, he said, my butt kept falling asleep and they wouldn't let me get up. He said, you know, I started to lose the numbness. And I told him, hey, it's, you know, starting to lose numbness. They said, well, just hang on a second. And, you know, he said, well, he was thinking in his mind, oh, I must only have, you know, a tiny bit left. He said, and then they said, oh, you have 400 grafts left to go or something. And he goes, well, I'm... it's painful. And he said, you know, he was gripping with his hands the sides of the leather of the chair. And we just, this whole, you know, and then as we walked back to our hotel and we're talking, he wanted the fresh air, and he's telling me all this. And I'm, you know, just from what I experienced on the outside and then hearing what he experienced on the inside, I'm, you know, sort of just going, oh my God. If this is the way they treat the patient, what's the quality of work? And obviously we can't tell. I mean, he's got, you know, the scabbing or the crest over the implants. I mean, this was Friday. This is literally Friday.
Well, let me tell you this. Here's the good news. I will say that in general, overall, Bosley has been doing a much better job over the years. They really had to up their game in order to compete. However... this story is not only disheartening, it is almost it's unimaginable. It's unbelievable. You know, I have never known, at least anyone who works with us, anyone who's in the International Alliance of Hair Restoration Surgeons, and in my view, I'm going to say this and get flack for it, there's a reason why we don't have anybody from Bosley in our organization, in our group. But I can never have imagined anything like this happening. Let's put it that way. I mean, yeah. Your fiancé was 100%, in my view, mistreated. This is a medical procedure. This is a medicine. Their number one priority is to make that patient as comfortable as possible.
Do no harm. No harm. That is the number one line that doctors have to remember.
But even if they can't, control that, forget about controlling the outcome or doing the best possible procedure, at least during the experience, make the patient as comfortable as possible. Make the loved ones of the patient as comfortable as possible. Allow them to have lunch together. Allow them to sit. If you're willing to sit in the room and watch an entire hair transplant procedure, you should be allowed to sit in that room.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mean to make – I hope I'm not making the situation worse for you, because the truth is the result could be fine. You know, he can end up coming away with, you know, a good-looking head of hair.
Right. And it's actually satisfying to know that we're not just looking at the situation and going – because, you know, like Brian's – his name's Brian.
Right.
You know, it was 10, 12 years ago when he had his last one, and in his mind he's thinking, well, I was young, I don't really remember a lot of this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he did say, you know, last time he wasn't like, and maybe this is common, but like you said, 10 years ago, you know, he didn't zonk out when they did the strip removal. Like, he said he was just out, whatever they gave him,
right.
Which is why I asked, you know. And then and they said, well, we prefer, you know, them to be asleep during that time, which is fine. I just, you know, like I said, I think a lot of this could have been alleviated for us had I been able to be in the room, which is what we had asked prior to going. And then, like I said, we're disallowed that after. And then the secondary thing was, you know, we had asked multiple times, well, if we do this 2 months before the wedding, you know, will the, you know, will it have any impact on, you know, anything? They said, oh, no, no, no. And then as we're leaving, they're like, well, you may have some hair loss of the native hair from shock loss. And I said, well, what? You know, is that common? Oh, yeah, it's pretty common. I said, well, we're getting married in 2 months. And, you know, we had asked about this. And they said, no worries.
Yeah, that's they said that what they need. They said what they needed to say to get him in the chair on Friday.
Yeah, and the fact is, you know, I mean, there's so many red flags even before you got to the facility. The fact that you said you were considering getting it done at a certain point, which was after your honeymoon, and they kind of talked you into saying, well, why wait? Now is the perfect time. You're getting married, or whatever, however they decide to sell you. So, you know, of course, it's a cosmetic procedure. Everyone wants to look their best. It's exciting. You don't have to sell surgery. That's the thing, you know. And so they made it seem like it was something that you guys should probably do sooner rather than later. And mm-hmm. that is a real typical sales tactic in this particular industry. You know what bothers me the most? I happen to know Ken Washenik, who is the medical director of Bosley. I know him personally. He's a guy that before he went over to Bosley was a really well-known dermatologist in the hair world at NYU in New York. Very trusted guy, a guy that I still like a lot. Very, you know, just a good guy. When I speak to him about things, and I sometimes provide him with information like this. I haven't heard anything this bad, to be honest with you. But, you know, people contact me. They tell me their story. They're concerned about what went down at one of the Bosley facilities. And he assures me that, you know, things are much better. They're getting better. If we hear anything like this, we're going to make sure that we get rid of those people who are working there. But to be honest with you, and Ken, if you're listening, I don't know if that's true at this point. Because I keep hearing the same nothing this bad, I have to be honest with you, but the same type of stories. People who feel like they've been oversold and, you know, and then Bosley underdelivered. People who just felt like they were misled in some way. You have a very unique story, though. I mean, whoever's running that facility, I mean, that place has to be looked at very closely. But the good news is, like I said, in general, their work has gotten – it's certainly above mediocre. It's a kind of on the average scale. And so if you only had, what, 2,400 grafts, it's pretty unlikely they did any damage. And I'm assuming that he's probably going to get some decent growth.
Yeah, hopefully. That's good to hear. I mean, that's kind of what I was looking for online when I had found the forum and I had posted. And I did get some, you know, James was very supportive and sort of said, you know, don't worry, you know, this – you know, this is horrible, but, you know, that's still possible that you can have a
James, James poster. 11, yeah.
Yeah, James 11.
Yeah. He's a guy that really got screwed, allegedly, by Bosley. And I have to say allegedly to kind of protect our own asses. But, you know, from what he's saying, he got screwed by Bosley. He wasn't a candidate for surgery, according to him. He had too much hair to have surgery, so he suffered from shock loss. And in some cases, that shock loss is permanent. Mm-hmm. And they don't tell – a lot of these clinics will not tell a patient that because, it would scare them away. Well, the reason I am 50 years old today and still have never had a hair transplant and wear makeup on the back of my head is because I have too much hair to lose. I don't want to take that chance. You know?
Understandably.
So it's a very – you know, it's a reality. You know, judging from your fiance's images, I mean, he already has a significant amount of loss. So he has less to lose. However, he did seem to have a decent hairline and a decent mid-anterior scalp. So some of that could be lost. I mean, I don't know.
Is he is Brian currently taking medication to prevent further loss like Propecia?
He is on the finasteride. I guess it's generic Propecia.
Okay. Now, does he believe that it's slowed things down over the years for him?
Yes. The crown has not receded any further over the past, you know, five years, I guess, that he's been taking it. And they also mentioned, you know, I've heard, you know, good and bad about the laser combs, and you know that was something that was mentioned But, you know, as far as the finasteride, it seems to have stunted the loss.
Okay.
Well, that's the baseline of what you want.
Right.
To stunt the loss. If he gets improvements, then that's just bonus. One thing I need to make, I need to stress this, actually. You were given, most likely given instructions, or Brian was given instructions for post-op care of his transplant immediately post-op, and then several days and a few weeks and so forth. Is this what you're given? You're given a sheet of paper, or was this verbally?
So we were given a sheet of paper that has the dates on this date, do this, this date, do this.
Okay. Follow that to the letter.
Absolutely. We have so far.
Follow it to the letter.
Okay.
The reason being is because you don't want to be in a position if there is an issue with the final result that you're not happy with. Document the fact that you're following the post-op to the letter, so that there's absolutely no excuse that can be thrown back at you to say, ah, well, you've not done this or you've not done that. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, it's protecting your future or his future if there ever comes a situation where he needs to go back to the clinic and say, this isn't exactly what we had discussed.
What Joe means by documenting it, you need to videotape this stuff. You need to say that today we are doing this, today we are doing this, and show that piece of paper and, you know, maybe, you know, somehow show the date on your computer or your phone or a newspaper or something. I know it sounds insane, but you need that documentation for sure.
Just
in case it goes any further. Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. I'd never thought to do that, but I think you're correct in that.
Well, I mean,
I've seen
it too many times where a patient says, well, I'm not happy, and, you know, for whatever reason, and in a clinic will come back and say, yeah, but did you follow the instructions? And, we think that maybe you didn't quite follow all the instructions, or maybe you added something to the routine that we didn't recommend, and so therefore we're not really responsible for the result. You don't want to be in that position. So document as thoroughly as possible. Like Spencer said, use video on every situation.
Now, also, I mean, since you did not document it on Ball Truth Talk, there probably is a chance that someone from the company, if they know that it's you, will try to reach out to you. We have the most visible hair transplant form in the world. So that's the kind of stuff that might happen, and I know that it has happened in the past. It is up to you I would just deal with them nicely. They may ask you to remove posts, or they may say, you know, why don't you come in, and, you know, or they may apologize, or they may say, well, we'll give you a refund or whatever it is. Obviously, that is completely up to you. I mean, again, the experience was, in my view, horrific. It was irresponsible.
Yeah.
It is something that it's really hard to even imagine that there could be someone working in the medical profession who would treat you so and your fiance so poorly. But with that said, you know, I wouldn't jump the gun, and I wouldn't feel like, okay, it's doomsday. He may look great on his wedding, you know, on your wedding. You may not, you know, the redness may just go away. His scar may be pencil thin. We really have no idea what's happening. You're not going to know for a while. But just, I think it's good advice, you know, just document everything. And you've already documented it on this program, even though in court this could be considered hearsay. But I don't know. I just don't know what else to say, except you had a horrible experience and I feel so bad for you guys.
And that's the only thing that we can really comment on, because like you said, the result might, you know, it might be perfectly happy with it. But the way that you're treated personally, Joanne, it breaks my heart. It is something that I think is absolutely inexcusable. The office there in Seattle should be ashamed of themselves. Everyone involved should be ashamed of themselves. And, of course, the treatment that Brian got. It sickens me.
Do you remember the name of the doctor?
I don't off the top of my head. I only met him twice.
Is it let's see. That's not it. Is his name Dr. James Akon Winans?
It might be.
Yeah.
you know, I only met him twice, and he seemed overall, you know, nice. The interactions I had more, and that Brian felt like he had more, were with the staff themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, when I asked, can I go back, can I see him, can I talk to him, it was always the staff that said no. And, you know, like he said, when he passed out and woke up, it was one of the technicians there. And
I have to be honest with you. You know, anyone else, anyone who's listening out there, if this ever happens to you, my advice is to call 911. You call the police. You let them know what's going on, period.
That's a good idea.
It sounds insane, but, it, you know, I'm a Jew. That's what I would do. That's what I would have done. You know, I had to be an advocate for my mother in the hospital, for my father in the hospital. You know, I've learned over the years that you have to put your foot down. You can't be afraid to say anything. And you know what? It's your loved one's life that's at stake.
Yeah. And I wish I would have fought harder. I just didn't know I could at the time. I mean, I felt
it's not your fault.
So it's not your fault.
Like a wall.
What other crazy person would think of calling the police except for me? That's how I am, though.
I just wish I would have fought harder and said, "Let me back there." You said I could. You know, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. But just knowing where he was in his mindset, you know, I'm sure he felt he was. You know, even though he wasn't alone, obviously there's, you know, 3-4 technicians and whomever else, and, you know, nurse, and I, but, you know, I think, you know, in his mindset, he felt alone, and he shared that with me. He was kind
of
afraid and kind of felt really out of his element.
Yeah. And it makes you feel worse knowing what you went through than to find out what he went through at the same time.
You both feel impotent, you know, and that's what they make you feel like. And you know, I would have been screaming at the top of my lungs, and they would have probably had to call the police on me.
And that's what you said is exactly the issue, right? Is I have this feeling of such helplessness,
right?
Yeah.
That I couldn't do anything now, and I can't, like then, and I can't do anything now, and that's how I again stumbled upon the site, and because I was just I haven't slept, you know, I'm anxious, I'm like your quintessential mathematician. I'm like the person in the corner who doesn't give a crap about anything,
right?
But this is just really caused me a lot of stress and anxiety because I feel like, you know, there's a part of me that can go back in time and redo it. And obviously that's not possible, but it's my mind keeps going back to that and I can't fix it. And I think that's what bothers me.
How much did you spend on the procedure?
$14,000.
Yeah. $14,000, which I'm assuming, even though, I mean, you're young people, even though your fiance is an attorney, and you have a good job, it's still a lot of money.
Oh, sure. I mean, my mother passed away in December. Thank you. I'd been given some money. We wanted to do something frivolous with it, you know, something, you know, fun. My mom that would have, you know, that, and so that's what we chose to do with it.
Unfortunately, it sounds like they saw you coming a mile away.
Yeah.
I hate to say it.
No, I know. I think you're right. I think that we were sort of, we were just naive in thinking this was our, you know, sort of our, you know, golden egg of opportunity.
Yeah.
And you know what kills me? I mean, they went to Seattle. They could have gone to Portland. They could have seen Dr. Gable. They could have gone up to Vancouver to see
Dr. Wong
or Victor Hassan. The experience would have been so much different.
I wish we would have reached. I don't even think we knew other people did it. I know that sounds really naive, but I don't even think
you know what
we realized.
Bosley has been able to entrench itself to kind of be like part of the fabric of our culture. And Bosley and the Hair Club, and that's just the way that it is. When people find out what I do, if they don't know me, or if I'm at a party, whatever it is here in Hollywood or whatever. The first thing they think of is the Hair Club. Oh, do you work for the Hair Club or do you work for Bosley? And then I have to explain, well, actually, we are almost like the anti-Hair Club or the anti-Bosley, and, you know, tell them what we do. And then it's so fascinating to them because they had no idea that there were so many different doctors doing this type of procedure. There are thousands. So I get it. You know, I mean, you cannot blame yourself. There is nothing that you or your fiance did that you can blame yourself for,
right?
You know, you were drawn in by the sales pitch. You know, these guys spend $30 million a year on television advertising.
Wow.
You know?
That's amazing.
And millions of dollars in online advertising. Plus, they're also – the parent company owns the hair club now. So they basically are the same company. So it's – I don't know. You know, I guess what bothers me the most – I'm going to let you go. And I hope that we were able to help you allay some of your fears, because there is – and I'm not just saying this to make you feel better. They had to have gotten better over the years because they weren't able to compete with some of the really good guys. So they've gotten much better in general. So they are doing follicular unit transplantation. They are using microscopes to dissect the grafts. The vast majority of their technicians are skilled at what they do. Their doctors are pretty good in general. But, you know, your treatment sucked. So I'm sure this tape is going to be heard by them. I know that you posted on Bald Truth Talk. They're reading that. And who knows? I mean, at least you kind of made it public and you kind of started to set the record straight. And I think you should definitely take Joe's advice and maintain a log of everything you do from this point on.
I appreciate that. And I really appreciate your time and speaking with me. And it really does alleviate some of the anxiety that I feel over this. So thank you so much for taking your time.
All right, you guys.
Thanks for calling in.
Good luck. Thanks for calling in. You know what?
Keep
us posted on the forum, you know, periodic pictures, stuff like that. It's also important to document it publicly.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
God.
I know I went on and on, but I can't – when I hear something like that, I mean, what am I going to – I got to let it out, man.
Yeah. I know. You can't ignore it. You can't shut it down.
That is a fucking story, man. Holy cow.
I mean, I've heard people – I've seen people pass out. It's not, you know, super rare. It happens. Having to do with, you know, blood flow and standing up too fast, or, you know, electrolytes way too low, things like that.
But his wife is in the waiting room. Let her in.
She's pleading to see the guy.
Yeah.
He's pleading for her to come in. He's complaining because his ass is numb and painful because they're not letting him get up. I've never heard of this.
It's like
if anything, they encourage you to get up at least once an hour to stretch your legs.
You also don't want to get blood clots.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Holy shit, man. It just blows my mind.
You see, but that's the thing. I would have been like, if it were me, I don't care how sedated I would be the guy like flailing his arms. It would be – I'd go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. More people should.
But that's the thing. You know, we are reared to kind of just like sit there and take it. And like she said, she felt she had no control. I mean, they basically make you feel impotent. And the truth is you guys have all the power. You guys hired these people. You paid them $14,000 in advance for help.
To be manhandled and insulted and lied to.
And not even to be allowed to have lunch with your fiance. That's fucking insane.
That's ridiculous.
I got to take a break. I need another drink. 888-659-3727. Guys, if you want to call in, we are here to take your calls. I want to thank Joanne for taking the time to call in. I want to say, you know what? Your fiancé, Brian, is one lucky man.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you that. You are a keeper. And, God, should be more women out there like you. 888-659-3727. Nothing against women. I don't want to get any emails. I'm not being misogynistic. I'm giving someone a compliment for crying out loud. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
The man who's helping to make hair loss history.
They wish to cure us, but I say we are the cure.
It's Spencer David Cobrin.